the great thing about horses and animals in general is just how they're always talking to us, and they want us to know what they're thinking. They want us to understand what their needs are.
Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. I would like to introduce my guest for this episode to you. Her name is Haley Matthews. Haley has been working with the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship for over 18 years. She's a certified therapeutic riding instructor. So PATH is one of the international organizations that certify equine-assisted activities or services for individuals with physical, cognitive, or emotional disabilities. On occasion, this work typically involves goals to improve balance, strength, confidence, and social skills. And this is done with the guidance of a trained professional like Haley. She has a degree in agricultural science, and she runs a veterans program as well as supports clients with diverse needs. And as you'll hear, she's got tremendous amounts of experience and passion for this work. Good morning. I'm here with Haley Matthews, and I would like to welcome you to the Connection Therapy Podcast. We met when we were both asked to speak at a conference for the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship, Region 11, which is in California, where you are based. And I was really impressed. I know that you have many years of experience and things in the equine assisted services industry. And what I was really thankful for is that your presentation went right ahead of mine, because as we've talked about since that time, our presentations kind of go together in a way. And so this episode is to help more people hear about that. So your presentation was about horses, mine was about humans, and together they kind of make a composite picture of what people can be observant about in sessions with equines. So would you like to give us a summary of what you presented that day?
Yes, well, thank you. The great thing about horses and animals in general is just how they're always talking to us, and they want us to know what they're thinking. They want us to understand what their needs are. And I think the fun part of this is the connection that we can have with horses or with other animals just by learning a little bit about how they communicate with each other and being able to apply that in our own lives. So horses, the way that they communicate, is so much of it is by observation. And so we're going to learn that silent language that they speak by observing them and watching how they interact with each other and how they're interacting with us. There's sort of three main areas that influence the way that the horse communicates with us. And the first one of those is just that they are a prey animal. And so we would be considered a predator and they would be a prey animal. And so pretty much the way their whole mind is set up is in that sense of being an animal that someone or something could be hunting. So another part of how they communicate has to do with herd dynamics. And in herd dynamics, there's a strong pecking order. So someone is always the leader. Leadership is really important to them. They feel safe and calm when somebody is in charge. Somebody is the leader. So when we see like a group of horses laying out in a field, and we don't get that opportunity that much anymore really to see a whole big herd of horses together, but we can see it with cattle, and it's the same concept, is that somebody is going to be standing up. Somebody is going to be on the lookout, so to speak, and watching to make sure that everyone stays safe. And it's not necessarily the leader, but somebody is going to be on guard. And I work with veterans in an equine program, and they love this because this is right up their alley.
They understand
this concept. So if you have three horses walking on a trail, the first one's going to have his ears pointed towards the front and is going to be looking out in front. And the ones in the middle are going to have kind of their ears on the side, and they're going to be watching on the sides. And then the one in the back is going to have his ears towards the back, because they're always looking out for each other and taking care of each other. And that herd dynamic is a big part of how they communicate with each other. And then also just the moving the feet. And so if we see a group of horses in an arena, perhaps, that are turned out together, there's going to be one who's going to move the feet of the other ones. And that one is going to be the leader. And if you just stand there and watch for a little while, you can see how they're all kind of watching that leader, and that leader's going to come around. He's perhaps even just going to move them around just for the sake of moving them around. But it also applies when they're eating or whatever. But they're going to do the same thing for us. So if our horse is pushing us around and moving us around, he's telling us, you know, I'm the leader here in this group. I'm the one who's telling you what to do. And so we need to kind of recognize that and see, do we want them to be the leader? I mean, sure, we don't want to be bossy and push them around, but we do want to be the leader, because this is a big animal and we want them to kind of understand who we are is important, and they just can't push us around and move us around.
Right.
So that's an important part of who they are. And it gives them confidence to know that we are the leader, and they're going to kind of test us to see, are they going to be the leader, or am I going to be the leader in this group here? Mm-hmm. And so we want to be the one who's the leader in that group. But observation is such a big key in communicating with them, and they're watching us all the time, and they have very strong observation skills. And so we may not even realize that we're being watched by them, but we are. And we can mirror their behavior, and they will mirror our behavior. So I had a veteran ask me one day, she said, can they tell that I'm so afraid of them? You know, are they going to take advantage of me because I'm so afraid of them? And this really is not the way that they think. Mm-hmm. If this gal was afraid, then the horse is going to be looking around and thinking, what is she afraid of? Am I missing something here? You know, do I need to be afraid? You know, why is she afraid? And so they're going to mirror us, and the same thing we're going to mirror them. So if we're calm and relaxed, that's going to help them to be calm and relaxed. And even if they're all upset about something, if we just breathe and are calm and relaxed, it's going to settle them. I was leading a horse the other day, just walking along, and I let out this big sigh, and the horse just let out this big sigh. You know, they're with us. And so it's just interesting to be watching them and to thinking about how they speak, how they relate to each other. And that even though we're people, they're going to speak and relate to us the same way they would as if we were a horse or another animal. They're expecting us to understand their language, even though we may not. Mm-hmm. But the more we watch, the more we can understand what they're saying. And so just another area that's big in horse communication is body language. And this is fun because we can watch it. We can see it easily, and we can understand a little bit about how they relate to each other, how they're relating to us, how what we're doing affects them. And there's just so many things we can look at: their eyes, their ears, their mouth, their breath, their head position, their legs, their muscles, all these things that we can look at, where their attention is, how they're moving their body. All these things are going to help us to understand what it is that they're thinking and how we can relate to them in a positive way. And just one other thing about how they're going to appear is we need to talk about a little bit about pain, because really goes back to them being a prey animal. So when we watch like a show about animals out on the savannah or something, you know, we see the lion is chasing the little gazelle, and which one do they go for? You know, they go for the one that is slow or that is weak or in pain or small. And so horses, they don't want to be that one. They don't want to be that one that is caught by the lion or whatever. So they may hide their pain from us to a certain degree. And so we need to kind of think about, okay, when we see behavior that we consider bad behavior, well, where's that coming from? Is that coming from pain? Is that coming from something else that we're doing? Just being aware that there's so much going on there with how they're relating to us, and they can talk to us in so many different ways. You know, we just need to be watching and listening. So I think it's just a really fun topic to think about.
Yeah, it certainly is. Can you tell us a little bit about what they're communicating with their eyes and ears and mouth, and like some examples of their breath coordinating with that, or their legs?
So their ears are a great place to start, especially if we're just learning about how to relate to these kinds of animals. But where their ears are pointing is generally where their attention is. And so if they're looking off into the creek, you know, they may be thinking that there's a monster down there. And so if we're watching their ears, we know if they're thinking about us and what we're doing, then their ears are going to be on us. And if they're thinking about some other animal or something else is going on, loud noises, and their ears are pointed in that direction, then that's where they're going to be thinking. Their nose also is a fun place to look, because when their nostrils are just relaxed and they're kind of almost semi-closed, they're just soft and relaxed, then we know that everything is pretty good. They're calm, they're peaceful. But when their nostrils are open wide, they're taking in a lot of information because they have a wonderful sense of smell. So when they're taking in more information through their nose, then that tells us that they're on the alert, so to speak. They're smelling, they're thinking about that. And even their mouth, when their mouth is hard and closed tight, they got their teeth are clamped, they're not relaxed. And so with horses, what we see when they do relax then is when they take a breath, when they're going to lick and what we call lick and chew, where they kind of stick their tongue out a little bit and they kind of grind their teeth a little bit, and it's in a relaxed way. And that tells us that they're coming down from a more tense situation. With horses also, just their head position, whether their head is up, if their head is up, their ears are up, everything is alert, they're thinking about something else. And if their head is just in a neutral position, then they're pretty calm. Maybe they're thinking about us, maybe they're moving with us. And their eyes, just like us, so we're doing some remodeling in our house, and so every once in a while the air compressor will come on, and then I notice that when that happens, it's really loud. And so my eyes open up really wide whenever that happens. And I thought, that is just what the horses do too. When they are seeing something that is, you know, anxious or scares them for a second, their eyes open up, and oftentimes we can see the whites of their eyes. And so it's just a natural reaction, same reaction that we have when our eyes open up, because we want to see everything that's around us. It's a way to protect ourselves from whatever that thing that is scary or making big noise is about. Yeah. We can see just a lot too, just from their legs. Like, are they ready to run, or do they have what we call their back leg cocked, which is just kind of like when we have one knee bent when we're standing for a long time. We're not ready to run. We're just relaxed. And that's the same thing that they do. If they're ready to run, their muscles are going to be tense. Their legs are going to be stiff, ready to go. They're going to be thinking about where they can escape to. They usually always, even in a calm state, will have a place they know how to escape. They're thinking, I'm going to go that way. If something bad happens here, they have a way to get away from whatever that scary thing is.
Yeah. And that's maybe something that your veterans in your program can identify with too. It's my understanding that once someone is trained in the military, they likewise are always looking for a path out.
Yeah. That high alert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that has to do with that whole prey thing. Most of us don't ever really feel that, like we are a prey thing. But when some of these folks that have been in the military, they have to look out for their own lives. And so it's a different situation, just like the horse. It becomes natural to be on the alert.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I'll share a little bit about what I said and why I was so excited. I remember I was sitting in the audience for your presentation at the Path 11 conference, and I just remember being so thankful as your slides started unfolding and you started talking like you just did now, because my presentation was about how we can use the similarity in nervous systems and our physiological kind of makeup that we share with horses to understand some of the cross communication that you're talking about from the human perspective. And so I was encouraging the audience to look at the humans as well. And like you're saying, most of the audience is skilled in looking at horses. And so I was wondering, when I was going to step up there, how I was going to sort of remind people that this is a skill they do all the time in looking at horses. And we're just going to shift our focus to look at the human nonverbal signals as well. And I just, like, as you started speaking, I was so relieved, because I thought, okay, I just am going to refer out to this really smart person who laid it all out and, you know, is clearly well respected in that group. And I think I just was so thankful. So then I got up and talked about was specifically the eye contact, about how you can watch that, because of, you know, not totally sure, but it's even as you were speaking, I was listening to things like their lips kind of purse up. For humans, we call it pursing up when we're, you know, tense, and their teeth kind of stay in one place like ours do. And, you know, you can even hear it in both of our voices as we mimic that, that it sounds like we're tense in that moment. And so what my presentation was about, looking at eye contact for when people are ready for an intervention to be done. Because like you said about the big eyes, and when you can see the upper whites of the horse's eyes, you can see them sometimes on humans too. We can't get our eyes, our eyelids as wide sometimes, but that kind of alert look lets me know from a psychologist's perspective that someone is in a high alert state and is not ready for a therapeutic intervention. Like, similar to a horse, they literally cannot hear what the trainer might be trying to tell them because they're focused outward of what potential threats or where that sound is coming from or whatever scared them at that time. And so they don't have the reserves to kind of listen and see and hear. And so from that eye contact, you can see, much like it's a little bit similar to horses' ears in a way, because humans, I think we can't direct our ears as easily. And so in a way, the eye contact for humans kind of is a mix, I think, for horses' eyes and ears, because that's how we're going to see where someone, like a participant in equine assisted services session, where their attention is and how, and, you know, if they're listening to the trainer or focused or looking out across the barn at something else or another activity or different things. So, yeah. And so that, as summary of my presentation, just goes along those lines, where if someone has those alert eyes, they're not going to be ready to hear an intervention. If someone has like really kind of dull eyes or almost looking down where you can't meet their, you're, you know, almost trying to raise their eyes, but they won't meet your eye contact, then they're also not ready for an intervention. That's usually more of a dissociated state from a human perspective. And I think horses have that too, right? Where they're sort of look like they're checked out a little bit. And what would you say to someone who might approach a horse that looked checked out?
Well, that is an issue that we need to be aware of. Yeah, because mm-hmm. we need to kind of talk to them and make sure that they know that you're there, that you're mm-hmm. not threatening, that you're not rushing up on them, but you're there. When I approach my own horses, just even out in the pasture or whatever, I try to stand maybe 6-8 feet back before I approach them. I just talk to them. And mm-hmm. then usually they just walk right up to me. So I think if they're checked out, we need to be aware that it's almost a safety issue at that point, because that's a big animal and we're not exactly sure what they are thinking at that point or how they're going to respond to us.
Yeah, and we might sort of surprise them. And horses, usually when they're surprised, you know, we're not sure how they're going to, which way they're going to go. Yeah. And so it's similar for humans, even though like the body size is different. You know, if someone looks checked out, the very common thing is to sort of, you know, hello, how's it, you know, but what you said in my experience has actually been more helpful, which is to kind of give them some space, that 6 to 8, or maybe for humans, we're a little smaller, 4 to 6 feet, just to kind of, and I do the same thing. Like if I'm approaching someone who looks a little, we might call it zoned out is a popular term these days, I kind of start making noise as I approach them. It depends on which context. If I'm like their therapist in that environment, then certainly I'll just speak directly to them and let them know that I'm, you know, coming to get them for a session or something like that. But even in public environments, like at a, oh, if you're at a public restaurant or something like that, and you aren't sure if the other person knows you're approaching, I do weird things where I start shuffling my feet, or I jiggle my keys so that someone just kind of gets that gentle little awareness that someone is next to them, you know, me, and see what they do with that, you know, like as I'm approaching. And I do the same as you do with my horses as well, just kind of never wanting to surprise them. And so similar with humans. And for that, I watch their eyes. And when I know that someone is kind of like in a restaurant, for example, if you were walking up behind someone, I just make little noises, like I said. And then I kind of watch their shoulders and I see if their shoulders relax or if their shoulders tense up, then I know what might happen if I were to try to interact with that person.
Yeah. Yeah. What they're thinking, which is really what we want to see. What are they thinking?
Yeah. And because once we know what they're thinking, we can know if our interventions are going to land or not.
Yeah.
And then, so for humans, the ways to know when someone might be ready for an intervention or even an interaction with the horse is, well, I should say too, one reason why I thought that presentation would be important is I see a lot of times, especially with children, and I, you know, my own family did this too when I was learning how to be around horses, is you're scared. Well, let's get you up on that horse. Let's, you know, let's work that fear right out of you by throwing you up on top. And, you know, a lot of us were taught to ride that way. And there's some merit to it, of course. I mean, it's successful in a lot of ways. But for therapy, it's not as helpful, because then it depends on what you want, actually, I guess, in the therapy session. But if we're wanting people to say how they're really feeling and what is really going on for them, then it's a different way of inviting the interaction, I think.
Yeah.
I would like all of the interviews with guests on the podcast to really sink in. And I'm intentionally slowing the content down so that there's time to reflect and consider the variety of things that are being raised here. And this feels like a good place to stop this episode, because here she's talking about the horses and I'm talking about the humans. And in next week's episode, we transition to the interrelationships between species. So I hope you'll join us for that. I would also like to highlight that among the many reasons you're hearing why I'm lucky to have her as a guest, she also happens to be the Certified Therapeutic Riding Instructor of the Year for PATH Region 11. So the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship has annual awards, and Haley was the recipient in 2025 for PATH Region 11 at the conference where I met her. We will continue our conversation in the next episode. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.